KKFT 99.1 FM Talk. It's the Monica J Show. 884-9910 or Monica at 991fmtalk.com. Vance, I'll get to your questions in just a minute. I've got, let's see, one, two, three, four emails, five emails from Vince talking about the whole space race and everything like that. So I'll bring up a couple of those. But the reason that I have these very special guests, Paul McFarlane and Dr. Dick Simmons, in with me today is to talk about the 50th anniversary of the Apollo 11 landing and some exciting things that are happening here at the National Automobile Museum and at the Planetarium, which you are the director of, sir. So let's get through this, because I've already got my tickets, and this sounds so fabulous. Dick, how was this program put together? I mean, what was the thought behind it that we need to do something here? Was it because of the fact that we had so much to do with space?
Between the Challenger Center and the Planetarium, we realized this was going to be a significant anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
And so we decided to have a different... Paul can give you a better accounting for everything that's going to happen on that Saturday, the 20th, which is, in fact, the 50th anniversary of the landing, exactly.
Well, that was convenient.
Yes, it was, particularly being a Saturday. But then we realized we had three people in this area that had a story to tell, myself being one. Another was Tom Taramina. I always mispronounce his last name. Tom was an engineer who was in mission control during the Apollo missions. He was there when Apollo 13 message came in that we have a problem.
Wow.
So he's going to be talking about the back story of mission control. And I'm going to be talking about the quarantine program and the use of animals in space. And then Dick Drylin, who's a board member at the Sparks Museum and Culture Center. Dick's a real historian, and he really realized that there was real history in Northern Nevada with our connection to the space program. It's a company called Rocketdyne that tested.
Whatever happened to Rocketdyne?
It was bought by Boeing.
Boeing.
In existence. But they had a 116,000 acre field laboratory here in Northern Nevada, a lot of which was in Sparks. And they were testing rocket engine technology, and about 80% of the rocket engine technology it took us to the moon and back was tested here.
Yeah. That is just so cool.
And the individual rockets that landed the guys on the moon and took them off from the moon, those specific engines were tested here before being sent to the Cape to be integrated into the spacecraft.
The ascent engines and the descent engines, yeah. And it's interesting, I was just reading a quote from Janet Armstrong. She said, you know, I know Neil's going to be able to land on the moon. I'm confident he's going to be able to do that. But if that rocket doesn't fire, they'll be stranded there. They'll never get home. And actually, President Nixon had a speech from his speechwriter, William Safire, in that if that rocket failed for some reason that had been tested here in Nevada. And, I mean, we look at the moon, it's a romantic thing, but to think of it as a mausoleum or something, you know, would have been a totally different thing. But they had tested that engine so thoroughly. It was a hypergolic engine, so the fuels combust on contact. They had gotten that to a perfect science. And I was reading another quote from an engineer who worked here in Nevada. And, of course, like Dick was saying, it was a top-secret project. So people didn't know about the magnitude of the work that they were doing, but they were incredibly proud when that rocket – when the Eagle landed, mm-hmm. and then when that rocket took off from the surface, of course,
there was a sigh of relief.
That they had succeeded. And, you know, this gentleman, I think his name was Alan Chambers, an engineer who worked, he had had his hands on that engine that landed us on the moon, and then the ascent engine that powered up and fired perfectly and allowed them to lift off.
You keep saying tested. Mm-hmm. Where were the engines built?
I don't know where it was. Obviously, Rocketdyne built them, but I'm not sure where the plant was where they were built.
It's a good question where they were actually assembled and I know they did
a lot
of work.
You guys have your homework now.
Yeah. It wasn't in Nevada, so we don't care. No, I'm just kidding.
That's what I was going
to
say.
Your listeners will have to come to the presentations because I'll make sure Dick Drylin addresses
that.
Nice. I want to talk to you about the quarantine because I found this so interesting. In the last hour, for people, if you weren't listening, I made the mention, even though it was such a fabulous movie and it got such rave reviews, I finally, the other last week, saw Hidden Figures. And I was wondering how accurate it was, because people were just wandering around in their spacesuits, and, you know, it just seems so casual.
Yeah.
As you see it now, you don't get near these guys for what, a week, weeks on end, and everything is sterile. People putting the suits on them are sterile. It seems like, boy, it really changed from, you know, and then when they came home, they just, you know, got out of the capsule and they were good.
Well, actually, that wasn't the case.
How did that come about?
The guys that actually landed on the moon, they had to go through a full quarantine program. It was a 21-day quarantine program. During that 21-day period, there was like 30 people in the background, including myself, that were doing tests on the lunar materials, looking for extraterrestrial life forms or anything that could be hazardous. For example, if the astronauts inhaled some of the lunar dust, which mm-hmm. they did.
Oh, wow.
Whether or not that would cause, say, lung cancer. And so we...
If everything's sealed up, how did they inhale lunar dust?
Well, because when they got back into the lunar lander and they took off their spacesuits.
Oh,
that
okay.
Dust, that
impregnated
dust was,
in all the material.
Yeah, that dust was throughout the spacecraft.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Yeah. Okay.
And so anyhow, so during that 21-day quarantine, well, while they were being evaluated by the medical staff, all this other stuff was going on in the background.
Interesting.
And my one footnote to history, which you can't find because I can't find, was I had my signature was one of the signatures required to get the astronauts out of quarantine. I had to certify we had not found anything in the animal testing that was hazardous. And so there's a multitude of people that were involved. And if you look at the whole space program back in those days, we're talking tens of thousands of people.
Yeah.
And even my role was really minuscule in the whole program, but was probably the most exciting thing I ever did.
So did you find that interesting when they found microbes on the Russians did? They found those little creatures that can live anywhere on the windows?
Well, I'm not sure. I believe that's... But we did have one case when one of the microbiologists found a bacteria inside one of the surveyor cameras that the astronauts had brought back from a previous landing. And that microbiologist is my office mate. And he was not happy.
Really?
Because he was, all of a sudden, he may have the only extraterrestrial life form ever found. Well, as it turns out, it was probably a contamination of the camera when it was being assembled on Earth, and that the vacuum of space flight essentially freeze-dried the bacterium.
Gotcha. And so when they got back, it started moving again.
Well, they put it in the media. They put it was like a 1 millimeter square piece of foam from inside the camera that they put in the media, and this bacterium started to grow.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was determined it was, in fact, an Earth organism.
Ooh, the behind-the-scenes stuff you don't hear about. I love that. But what about going up? You're talking about the quarantine when they came back. Because the movie showed it that he's talking on the phone. I'm not going up unless you know, you got those numbers.
Well, on the day of launch, everything was shut down in the sense that only people who were cleared medically could be in contact with the astronauts for the last 72 hours. And that included everybody.
Wow.
And in fact,
an honest question. If somebody had sneezed or something like that, would they have canceled it?
Probably not if it was one of the cleared people.
Okay.
And it was a very small number of people. We're probably talking less than 30. And one of my good friends, was in fact the nurse for the astronauts, and she was there the whole time.
It just shows how we've come in society, where Yeah. It's a lot more important to have that sterile, yes. that sterile environment. You know, not saying anything bad about people, but
right. it was a very closed group at that time.
That is just so interesting, and and that's the thing that I hate about Hollywood, is they change thing and they have that poetic license to, you know, like the American flag on that. That other movie I didn't even see about taking the American flag out. So, I.
Well, you know, so that was the first man.
First man.
Well, I don't know if you got a chance to see the film Apollo 11. We have the licensing to be able to screen that after the special presentations from Dr. Simmons and others, and it's entirely footage, real footage, from 1969, but it's high-definition footage that was locked up in the vaults. It was 70 millimeter. It looks like it was shot today because the resolution is so amazing. When we got a chance to preview that film, we were just blown away. It was like time travel because you're seeing Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin, all these guys, but in an ultra-crisp resolution. And it's like, how are we perceiving this as if it's actually happening? So if you missed that film when it came out, it was only here for, I think, like a week here in Reno. It is absolutely gorgeous, and it's not anything made up. It's not Hollywood. It's the real deal.
It's the real deal.
Yeah. Oh. So if you get a chance, that's included with the ticket for the presentation.
Now, is that going to be at the...
That'll be at the National Automobile Museum in the theater, gorgeous theater.
So. Thanks a lot, you guys, because you pretty much spent my whole Saturday. My husband's not going to let me out of that place, but actually I'm pretty excited, too, because I absolutely love it.
It's a wonderful
Stick
film.
Around. We're going to tell you about the actual events that are coming up for the 50th anniversary. Do you believe it? How far we've come? We have people living in space. We're trying to get people living on Mars. 50 years. KKFT, it's the Monica J Show, live and local FM talk, and this is as local as it gets, especially for history. It's 99.1 FM talk. KKFT 99.1 FM talk. Talk lines are open at 884-9910. And if you have any of those deniers out there that we actually went to the moon, please call in. Thank you, Vance. I brought this up when we were off mic, and the moon landing deniers have been quiet for a while. You don't get that as much anymore.
Pretty ludicrous, really. You see the images of the equipment that we left up there, the laser range reflector, you know, the mirror that we can bounce a laser off of. That equipment's still in place. And other countries have launched satellites around the moon that can take images of the equipment and the footprints. So if we didn't go there, it's pretty tricky to get all those footprints around up there.
Yeah, exactly. Good for you guys.
The rovers we left up there and all that.
Great trick of lights. And how many people know about that mirror because of Big Bang Theory?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Made it famous.
Made it famous.
Physics departments around the world and colleges and universities can bounce a laser off of those mirrors and help test Einstein's theories. They can measure precisely how far away the moon is and the fact that it is actually moving a little bit away from the Earth each year. And so that's something that they can monitor and use. But, it's just part of the scientific landscape today.
See, we're going to have to get more scientists and education going for kids because what's going to happen? Everything is controlled by that moon out there, our tides. So that has so much to do with our weather and everything. And you had a great speaker come in, actually, from NOAA. National.
Dr. Kathy Sullivan.
Yes, she was
first
fascinating.
American woman to walk in space. And
she was fascinating.
Now the head of NOAA.
Let's go to the programs. Who put together what's actually going to be happening on the 50th anniversary? Did you put this together?
Well, it was a collaborative approach. I think we worked with Tom Terramina and Dick Simmons and others. We wanted to try to provide a range of experiences for people on the 20th. Actually, on the 16th, we'll be doing a little rocket launch on the day that they launched the Saturn V, the Apollo 11 mission. We'll have a rocket launch as well. At the U.S. Space and Rocket Center, they're kind of kicking that off, and there'll be rocket launches all around the world. But then on the 20th itself, that Saturday, we have a Space Act agreement with NASA, the Challenger Center does, and so we're going to be doing a NASA engagement day with activities, hands-on activities that kids and families can do in the morning at the National Automobile Museum. Then they can stick around and they can hear our local presenters talk about the rocket engine testing, the quarantine program.
Yeah, actually, at 9:30 is when it all gets started.
Yeah, so if people want to come in and try out some hands-on activities a little bit beforehand, check out the Be the Astronaut exhibit, They can do that. Then they can head into the wonderful theater there and hear some live presentations from some of our local experts. And then after that, we have the Apollo 11 film. We have the licensing for that. That's all included. And then they can check out the preview of the Challenger Center, see the mission control facility that we've got established there at the Automobile Museum. And they can try out the simulators that Dick was talking about earlier.
And that's self-guided, so you can kind of take your time.
Exactly. And I really want to put a pitch in for that, because really there's only two places in the country where you could experience those simulators, at the Virginia Air and Space Museum and here in Reno, Nevada. So we're pretty excited. And they're in two places, at the Flashman Planetarium and at the National Automobile Museum. Okay. So after those activities, then we'll be kind of transitioning to the Flashman Planetarium for some special planetarium shows that we've got related to the moon, and then a presentation that evening about the art and culture and music and fashion of the 60s as well. And we'll probably pull out the telescopes. And
I was going to say, did you get in with Art Town on this?
Well, it's a cultural experience that's profoundly impacted our popular culture, and then, of course, it's had profound impact on humanity, that the Apollo missions have had. Yeah. All kinds of wonderful spin-offs as well. So we just wanted to give people a taste of these different things and get a chance to check out some exhibits and have some fun.
When little boys were little boys back then, everybody wanted to be an astronaut.
Sure.
Since both of you are in education, do you see that to the extent now?
I think there's a resurgence. It's pretty exciting to see. People are getting excited about the space frontier again, as we're looking at returning to the moon. And there are some Nevada companies that are involved in some of the life support systems that are being developed for the next stage, the Gateway space station that will be in orbit around the moon. By 2024, the goal is to get people back there as a gateway to landing on the moon and doing research and science and industry on the moon, but also perhaps deeper in the solar system. But that's something we can talk about, too. In fact, some of Dick's research was about radiation and the effect of high-energy particles and cosmic rays. But so there's a lot of challenges ahead of us. But I think people are reawakening to the excitement because of all the private companies, SpaceX and Sierra Nevada Corporation with the Dream Chaser that they're developing. So I think there is an excitement about being an astronaut and going into science. In one sense, we're all astronauts on spaceship Earth.
Yeah, we're, exactly.
We're exploring the solar system together 365 days a year as we orbit the sun. But, no, I think the opportunities are opening up for us. And, you know, the Artemis project, the returning humans to the moon, and the first woman on the moon, which will be an exciting milestone as well. We were talking about Kathy Sullivan, mm-hmm. the first American woman to walk in space. Prior to that, Sally Ride. Even before that, 1963, Valentina Tereshkova. So
yeah.
It's time to open these moon research bases and go back to the moon, not just on a camping trip, not just for short-term science experiments, but potentially to stay and operate equipment up there. We mentioned Melody Rodrigue, and she's an astrophysicist who used the Hubble Space Telescope. She'd worked with a group of people at NASA who talked about having interferometers, telescopes on the side of the moon that faces away from the Earth, and that's free of the radio wave interference. Those kinds of instruments could help us to study the atmospheres of planets around other stars and determine potentially if there's life on these other exoplanets out there around other stars. And that's pretty fascinating frontier when you really think about it. So we've only just begun to embark on the science that
well,
we can
and,
do.
Well, and speaking of frontiers, I mean, we talk about our beautiful desert here instead mm-hmm. and the difference that it made for the space station, but we seem to know more about space and Mars and the moon than we know about our own planet, especially when we look at the oceans. Do the oceans play a part in the process of getting people to outer space?
Well, there is a research facility under the oceans where they simulate space missions in an environment, a habitat under the surface of the ocean. So that's one area. But it's interesting, we talk about looking for life elsewhere in our solar system and beyond. And this is a field of research, exobiology, astrobiology. There are water oceans on other places, other planetary bodies, including Europa around Jupiter, or Enceladus, which is one of the moons around Saturn. At Enceladus, there are icy geysers that blast this material out into space, this water. And it's got it's got water, it's got energy, it's got nutrients, all the potential ingredients for organic life. So that's an area where we'd love to research more. So
hell with the kids.
Ocean
I want to get back into school and start learning this
There's
stuff.
There's a lot of exciting, frontiers. So.
How did we go so brain dead for so long that, you know, kids just want to be athletes and celebrities now on the internet.
You know, it's exciting to see. You talked about the Big Bang Theory and other things. I think we're living in an exciting new space age, and the nerd culture is a pretty exciting one, really. We're beginning to realize, hey, the people that are going to solve, cure cancer and discover these things, mm-hmm. These doctors and scientists, they're the cool people. They're the heroes. And now it's starting to get to be cool to be smart. And I think that's a wonderful shift in our culture.
I think if we can nurture
that, that's a great thing.
I think that is a great thing, especially when people find out the fact that I forget her name, Malik, the young woman on Big Bang Theory. She's not that young anymore, but she is like an astrophysicist or something.
Person.
She's brilliant. We're going to take another quick break. I just want to talk to you guys for like a week. KKFT, we'll be back in just a moment. Let's get a look at Fox News, though, right now on 99.1 FM Talk. KKFT, 99.1 FM Talk. Talk lines are open if you'd like to talk to either of my guests today, Paul McFarlane, who is the director of the Planetarium and so many other things with the Challenger program and all this good stuff, and Dr. Dick Simmons, who his list of... Dick, everything you've done in your life, you have got to just be probably, you know how they have that Dos Equis guy, the most interesting man, or, I think you take the cake on that, talking about your experiences, which you can hear at the big 50th anniversary going on at the, all over, actually. It's going to start off at the National Automobile Museum and the Nevada Space Center there, and then it's going to move over to the Planetarium. Where can people find information about everything that's going to go on for the 50th anniversary of Apollo 11?
If they visit nevadaspacecenter.org, nevadaspacecenter.org has a link to tickets for that, and so you can check that out. So just one word, nevadaspacecenter.org. You can also search for Nevada Challenger, Challenger Learning Center of Northern Nevada, and there's a link there as well. But, if they want to find out more about the activities and how to get tickets and reservations.
Now, is there a certain amount of tickets that are being...
Yeah, for that, it's limited to 157 seats in the theater for the screening and for the talk. So if you can sign up and get your tickets now, that would be a good thing.
Yeah, Hollywood's got nothing on this movie, Apollo 11, that they're going to be showing, because this is actual footage.
That's right.
It's not something that was made up in a simulator down in Hollywood or anything like that. This is actual footage from Apollo 11. And this is so great for the kids to get them involved. How science has changed so much. I mean, just look at the periodic table. You know, there just used to be this little thing, and now we've got elements that are going up into the hundreds that back when this happened, they didn't even know existed.
Yeah. What Apollo did for science and technology, it was a huge stimulus, I think, to the whole country. And it just continues on, that it's launched us on some exciting directions, and now we're looking at even more exploration.
But people ask the question, why did we do that? It was so expensive back then. Why do we want to go out into space? Why do we want to, gain this experience?
Well, Dr. Simmons and I were talking about this beforehand, and we heard that from somebody recently, said, it was a massive waste of money. I said, I think you could call it anything but that it actually, the return on investment was incredible. And I've seen lots of different analyses and different articles. There's a scientist and an astrophysicist, Brian Cox in England, who said, there was at least a $7 to $40 return on that investment. So if you wanted to spend money, sometimes people think they would just stuff all that money in rockets and launch it off into space. All of that investment money was spent right here on Earth in the United States, developing new technologies, working on integrated circuits that would transform our world and benefit us in all kinds of different areas. So financially, there was a tremendous return on that investment. President Kennedy pointed out that Americans were spending more on cigarettes and cigars than they were on the space program. That's true. It wasn't that we didn't have the money. We did have the money. Mm-hmm. We were talking about, I think it was around $19 billion that was spent over from 1960s and that through the last mission in 1972. And we were spending over $119 billion a year on the war in Vietnam. So Americans were spending money. It wasn't that we weren't spending money on things. It's just that the money that we were spending on the Apollo program has resulted in medical benefits and technology benefits.
I was looking at a brief list of some of the things that have come back, like one of the engineers working on the cochlear implant. Mm-hmm. deriving technology from that. But even our sunglasses, you know, the reason that we have polarized lenses on our sunglasses, I mean, everybody knows about Velcro. Right. But
well, that wasn't a NASA invention. But power tools, you know, like handheld electric power tools and things like that. But you look at the fire protection, nutritional advances, medical advances.
Oh, yeah, freeze-dry, being able to freeze-dry food.
But you look at the Apollo guidance computer. NASA in particular was the single biggest customer for integrated circuits. Those circuits that were miniaturized for use on Apollo, now we have them in our cell phones. We have them, I mean, it allows us to have air traffic control systems, emergency response
systems. Yeah, we wouldn't have this thing right here, this little phone, if it weren't for...
It impacts every area of our national security, of our daily lives, of our medical benefits, all these kinds of things. And that drove America to become the leader in the world, but we shared it with all of humanity, with all the other nations as well. So Apollo transformed the technological landscape, but it also helped, like you said, it helped us understand how the moon and Earth were formed. It gave us a view of our own Earth from outside of the Earth,
environmental
consciousness that was awakened. And it brought the world together. For one moment, everybody around, it wasn't just one man stepping foot on the moon, it was the entire human race.
And take that, flat earthers. Earthers.
So that degree of inspiration and unity, I think it's just is incredible. And it's driven us forward in massive and wonderful ways.
So I have to ask you something, Dr. Simmons, because this is more of your age before beauty, remember? That's how I'm putting this. So going back, was it the dreamers or the technology that came first, or what sprouted? Because you had your dreamers of going into space, and everybody got involved in the science fiction, and you know, then there was Star Trek, and then all of a sudden now we're going out into space. Was it those people dreaming about it, those ideas that really put the engineers, the nerds in line and said, you know what, we can do this?
Well, quite frankly, I think the dream always comes first. I think most achievements were preceded by a dream to make it work. And I, as you say, go back to Jules Verne and his Earth to Moon, or was Men in the Moon or Earth to Moon?
From the Earth to the Moon.
From the Earth to the Moon. That was written in the 1800s.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, he dreamed it. And then, of course, you had the Buck Rogers serials when I was a youngster. I hate to say how long ago. And even though as a youngster, I realized some of the special effects were hokey as hell.
Yeah.
But it still was the dream. And I remember very vividly sitting on, we had a summer home from Maryland. We had a summer home on the Chesapeake Bay. And we're sitting on a bench with my father one night looking at the Milky Way. We didn't have light pollution in those days. We could actually see it.
I so want to see the Milky Way in my lifetime. Yeah.
So anyhow, we were talking about space travel, and my father said that I would live to see it. And I was probably about 12. I would live to see it, but he wouldn't live long enough. Well, he and my mother were my guests at Skylab launch.
Oh, that is so cool.
And so there was the dream, and as with a lot of technology, once you start developing technology, things go pretty fast. So we're talking around 1952 to the 1960s when we launched Skylab.
Well, and I hate to put it this way and bring it up because it's so negative, but besides the dreamers, war has a big part to play in how fast we've come.
I was just going, you're absolutely right. In fact, the two major human activities that have driven technology historically is war and space.
So if you want to choose between those, space travel is a
pretty
exciting way to drive.
Yeah.
You know, and really, when Kennedy set off on this massive endeavor, he was facing the Soviet Union, a massive superpower, and the world had to decide which system, freedom, free enterprise, is that going to be the vehicle that triumphs? Is that going to be what takes us to the moon? And there was that Cold War, and the space race was in many ways a proxy for that Cold War. Well, we could choose between a hot war with nuclear weapons and things like that, or we could engage in this contest and win. And Kennedy's vision was realized. Freedom, free enterprise, the American way of life. triumphed, and it was a pretty exciting alternative, I think, to nuclear war.
And a little tidbit on my presentation Saturday a week. Kennedy really didn't care. I've got quotes that I'll be presenting where he basically said, we're doing it because it's politics.
Yeah.
And for exactly the kind of thing that Paul was talking about, that we have to be ahead, and the space race is the way to do it.
That is just so fun. Okay, I have to start wrapping up our time together, but before you go, I want to mention you have a beautiful piece of artwork that you guys just saw, and you brought it down here and shared it with me that nobody else except for the two of you and, oh, well, my boss walked by and saw it as he walked in, but what is this? What is this footprint?
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, we found out about the original mold that was used to create the moon boots for Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin. It still exists, and they were allowed to make a limited number, just a few new impressions from that actual material, the rubberized silicon material that was used for that. And this is a hand-numbered edition of that first footprint, that one small step. So we have a reproduction of the moon boot that we'll have at Dr. Simmons' presentation on the 20th, and then we'll be exhibiting it as part of the Nevada Space Center and some of the exhibits we're doing for Mission Moon.
Cool.
So, yeah, one small step and one giant leap into the future, and this just kind of is symbolic of that.
Yeah, and brought us all together.
And we literally just received it. You're the first to have seen it.
I'm so excited. And I'll get to see it again on the 20th.
Yeah.
So there you go. Look this up for yourself. Any way that you can do it, you can see it on the calendar events for the National Automobile Museum, but it is a week from Saturday. It's July 20th, and it's the 50th anniversary of Apollo 11. You don't want to miss out. Only 157 seats available, so you have to get your reservations in. You have to get your tickets, and then just keep looking to the stars. And what's the website again?
So you can go to nevadaspacecenter.org for more information. And then if you want to find out more about the other projects to Challenger Center or the Flashman Planetarium and the Mission Moon experience there, we'd love to have you research that as well.
All right. Our next generation.
And it's not that expensive. The tickets are only $12.
Very accessible.
Wow. That's
go to the moon for $12.
Take the entire family and the neighbor's kids just to grab them all up and take them. But you know what? I have a feeling there's also going to be a lot of adults there, because this is such a piece of history that people don't want to miss out on it. But take the kids, take the grandkids, because it really is. It's, again, the future and where we're going. So, Dr. Richard Simmons, Dick Simmons, thank you so much. And Paul McFarland, your family has just made such a huge impact on this entire city and Northern Nevada that we appreciate everything you and your family has done for all of us. Also, Paul, director of the planetarium. And I'm so glad that didn't go away when there was that issue
yes.
with you and ours. So we got it moved. And
and Monica, thank you so much for giving us this opportunity.
Hey,
Thanks, I
keep looking to the stars. Like I said, that's my ultimate dream, is go somewhere with no light pollution and see the Milky Way. So, gentlemen, thank you so much. We're going to take a quick break and then wrap up the show as we come back on KKFT, your live and local FM talk station at 99.1 FM Talk. KKFT 99.1 FM Talk. It's the Monica J Show, live and local FM Talk. See, I can do it. I cannot bring you down with politics and all that and trying to make you think that politicians are doing everything behind your back. It's like, no, we can have some fun too. I hope you enjoyed talking and learning about the Apollo 11 mission and the 50th anniversary coming up on the 20th of July, as much as I had such a fantastic time bringing it to you and talking with Paul McFarland and Dick Simmons. And really, we have to turn this around, get kids interested in the math and the science and the whole STEM programs. And I applaud the Washoe County School District for knowing that and actually finding, you know, schools that were turning into STEM education schools, like veterans over here by us. It's so important. And if you really want to just tell kids, you know, guess what? This is more exciting than video games. You're going to be doing hands-on. You're not going to have it be that virtual reality. You're actually going to be doing this stuff. And so I think that's the most exciting part. If I had to do it all over again, let me tell you, I love my life 100%. But if I had to do it all over again, I would have buckled down on that math and forced myself to learn it and being part of NASA and what we look at, because it's not just space. It comes back here at home, too. So it all starts at 9:30. Get there early. It's at the National Automobile Museum and also the Planetarium later on in the evening for those movies. But definitely get that on your calendar for Saturday, July 20th. And go out and have a great time this weekend, too. Of course, you've got the Revival Car Show in Carson City. Fun, fun, fun. Yes, all the different things that are going down there. If you love, we've got something for everybody here. Isn't that literally just it? You've got the water, you've got cars, you've got music, you've got art. Anywhere in Northern Nevada. In Carson City, you can go down and show off your car. Same-day registration for tomorrow is $30. People hanging out. Carson Street between 5th and Robinson. Please have a good time. And don't be bitching that the road's closed. My God, take the roundabout way and discover some of the city. Just have a good time. And also happening this weekend, if you're looking at air and space or just air getting off the ground, how about the Truckee Air Show? We've got that going on this weekend. So many fun things to do. Sometimes we just have to take a break and we have to chill. And that's kind of what I wanted today's show to be about. We had so many things happen yesterday, so many things that we could easily talk about, all those people in Puerto Rico that were arrested, finally. We had Acosta stepping down. But I do know I pressure you to pay attention and to hear and to see what's going on in the government, in Reno, in Sparks, in Washoe County, in Douglas. We're all working on this great big project together. But I do know there are times you have to sit back, you have to relax, and you have to just let it go for a little bit. Because the worst part of it all is it's going to be there tomorrow. It's going to be there Monday. You can pick it up down the line. On the weekends, take some time for yourself. That's what I do, so if you don't get an email back so fast or a text back so fast, that's what it is I'm actually taking the weekend off and shutting the electronics down and just trying to live in this beautiful community that we share. Watch out for one another. If you need any information, just start Googling stuff. I know I'm not supposed to be pitching Google, but hate to tell you this, but it's the best search engine out there. And even though the people that run it are questionable, but I want to thank everybody that went out to the events last night and participated. A lot of people showing up at the AMAC meeting, the Association for Mature Adults, American Citizens. I'm not going to say adult because adult and maturity have nothing to do with, just look at me. That age and number have nothing to do with maturity. Also, the big meeting that they had out in Sparks for the American Patriots, American Patriots of Sparks, that was huge. A lot of great people showing up to talk politics, talking with your neighbors. It's a lot different when you're talking with your neighbors about politics or, you know, Medicare, something like that, when you're talking to the AMAC people. It's a lot different when you're talking with your neighbors and you're finding out that you have the same issues, you have the same problems, you're getting the same results and same responses. And like Debbie did with the American Patriots and Sparks, taking it upon yourself to do something, to start up an organization, to get involved, that is so great. That is so awesome. We're all so busy with our lives, with our work and our kids and, you know, all the charities that we like to be a part of, but we can't forget that we've got to do something for ourselves and our future as well. So just get involved. And this is going to be a good time to do it. It is so gorgeous outside. I hope you have a great day. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. Take advantage of Art Town and the free events that they have. Take advantage of the Revival Car Show in Carson City. Take advantage of the Truckee Air Show. Just go out and have some fun. But make sure you join me back here on Monday morning at 10 o'clock. It's your live and local FM talk show, The Monica J Show, your show, from 10 to noon every weekday. And I'll keep telling you what's coming up. You can also email me at monica@991fmtalk.com.